Pogba with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast. This is episode 3 of season 3. I'm one of your two hosts, as always, Andrew Mello. Alongside with me is my boy, Danny B, Danny Barbudo. Daniel, no Premier League match day this week. International break, some crazy fixtures, some crazy results.
Nuts.
Daniel, I want to know what you think about it.
I'm excited for another episode. Excited to talk about international break. As always, international break is the greatest thing ever. Second behind just regular club matchup, especially in the Premier League. But it's exciting. You get to support your country wherever you're from in the world. And it's great, great soccer as always.
Daniel, I want to just show off my bling here real quick. For those of you who don't know, I'm a champ now. That's what they call me now. I'm known as the champ.
He's a Premier League champ.
I'm a Premier League champ. We won the final in dramatic fashion in pens. I scored the tying goal, make it 2-2. It wasn't the best of goals, but, you know, I left foot, weak foot, put it in the back of net off a corner. And then, you know, your boy stepped up to take a penalty shot. Calm, cool, collected. I did the little Bruno Fernandes run-up.
Bruno Fernandes.
Goalkeeper dived the right way, but still no chance. And, yeah, your boy's a champ, so shout out. Shout out to the squad. Shout out to Sporting, bro. Respect.
Respect Sporting.
Yeah, that's my club. Anyways, that's my U21 club, so.
Starting lineup for you guys today. Couldn't be a good one, as always. We're going to start us off with a nice international break recap.
We're going to go to managers on the hot seat, Daniel. That's what the episode of this, the title of this episode is relating to. It's only at the wheel, question mark. You know, where's it going to be? Where's it going to end up?
We're going to look at our match day 8 predictions for next week.
And then we're going to talk about our best fantasy picks. Daniel, international break recap. Let's get right into it.
Starting us off, international break recap. We got our Nations League. That was taking place right at the beginning of international break. Nations League final. Probably the biggest match of all of the international break because it actually meant something. We had France versus Spain. France took this one 2-1, crowning them the second champion of the Nations League. And it was a controversial win because Mbappe scored a goal late in the game. He was in an offside position. It clipped Eric Garcia. However, Eric Garcia did not feel this way. He felt that he didn't touch the ball at all. Very controversial from VAR. VAR looked at it, and they deemed it to be a goal. Nuts. Andrew, what do you think?
I'm thinking that Portugal did it first. They put the flag down first, and they conquered it first. But no, I'm just joking. It was a great game to watch. It was a very intense game, a back-and-forth game. Spain had the lead, then France came back. It was a really good game. And one thing I want to highlight is Julian Tuchemeni, I'm probably butchering the name, but plays his club football for Monaco. I watched the highlights. Wasn't able to watch the game live, unfortunately. I missed a great game. But I was watching him, you know, command that midfield because Conte's out due to COVID. So he got the start. It's his first ever call-up for the national team. Very young player, very great, talented midfielder there. And he looked amazing alongside Pogba. And there's obviously rumors now. People are trying to say that he might go to United. United's interested. I think that'd be a great move. I think that's the missing piece for United there in the midfield. Fred's not that guy. McTominay's not that guy for me. This needs to be a guy like Julian Tuchemeni to command that midfield. And they look great together. They look very comfortable together. And it was one of their only starts together. And they look fantastic. So him and Pogba could really be a nice duo there in the midfield for United if they manage to you know, splash some cash again in January and pick him up.
He's a great young midfielder. He's only 21 years old. United are looking for somebody to play that defensive role in their midfield. I think he would be the man. Of course, I love young talent. So seeing him already getting called up to the French international team, that's a very difficult team to make. That can't be understated because that French has plenty of talent throughout all of Europe. And he comes out in the finals of Nations League, does a phenomenal job, and they end up winning. Talking about, we're going to move to Italy versus Belgium. This was a third place game in Nations League. Italy did win this one 2-1 with Italy scoring both.
Forza Azzurri!
2-0. They're up 2-0, and then Belgium scored to try to spur a comeback, but it didn't turn out that way.
Daniel, Qatar, obviously the host nation of the next World Cup in 2022. They're one of the, they obviously automatically qualified. Germany was the first team to do so throughout this window of the international break. They qualified with their wins. And then Denmark. Denmark's been fantastic, Daniel. Their manager, Kasper Hjumland, and that's a hard name for me to pronounce, another one, but he's been fantastic. He helped them and led them to a semifinal appearance in the last Euro Cup, which was fantastic. No one ever thought they would have been able to do that, especially after the traumatic incident with Eriksson in the first match against Finland and losing that match as well. They made it there to the semis. That was an impressive performance from them in that tournament, an impressive campaign. And they're continuing it here in the qualification for the 2022 World Cup. Daniel, 8 wins in 8 matches. That's an impressive stat there. And they've just been bossing the teams they played, and they finished off the international break this week with a 1-0 win against Austria. Top performance.
This Denmark team is incredible. Like you said, since that Eriksson, I'm gonna call it a tragedy, because who knows when he will play football again for his Inter side. But they've been phenomenal since then. They made it to the semis in the Euros. And now, look, like you said, 8-0, 27 goals for, 0 against. Absolutely nuts. That's averaging them just under 3 goals a game.
Yeah.
No goals against. Phenomenal backline from this Denmark side. And I'm excited to see them in the World Cup next year. I think they're going to be a great team to watch. Obviously very exciting, because they're not scared of these big teams like we saw in the Euros. I'm ready to watch them. Really ready to watch them.
Yeah, Daniel, they don't really have that guy, that superstar on the team. They just have a lot of hardworking players with a lot of passion and a lot of energy for their homeland. And you see that through guys like Christensen. You see guys through like Maher that plays on the that plays along the flank. So guys like that really put in a shift every time they're out there and give it their all for their country. And they're guys that make the difference. So that's why they've had the success they've had. Very organized team.
Andrew, how do you feel? Ronaldo breaking the record, most international hat-tricks with 10. New record. It's incredible for Ronaldo to have 10 hat-tricks in international play, by the way. Did it against Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about this?
Oh, this was a statement game from Portugal. You know, they usually have trouble with these smaller countries. I know Luxembourg is a tiny country, but they've been doing quite well this round of qualification. And Portugal slapped them 5-0. It was a great performance. They got the goals early on, 2 penalties from Ronaldo. There were 2 obvious and clear penalties. Ronaldo had to take one even because André Silva entered the box prematurely before he took the kick, so he had to redo and he still scored. It was just another top performance from Ronaldo, leading his country, doing what he does best. And it's GOAT things, Daniel. This is what a GOAT does. And I love Messi, and we always go back to this conversation, Messi versus Ronaldo, this and that. But the difference for me is that Ronaldo's done it for his country, and he does it on numerous occasions, and he's always that guy in big moments. So that's what really sets them apart for me. And Ronaldo, once again, just doing GOAT things.
Talking about GOAT, I'm going to refer to my GOAT here just because he also did have a great international break as well. He was announced with the most international goals for Argentina during this international break. Again, he played fantastic alongside Ronaldo. 2 GOATs, 2 undisputed GOATs. They'll probably go down as 2 of the best players to ever live. I think they're already there. I think they've solidified themselves as 1 and 2. Obviously, the argument is who's 1, who's 2. They're both up there. It's phenomenal that we've had the opportunity to watch them as they've progressed through their prime years. And I don't think we'll ever see anything like this ever again, where it's 2 superstars going at it all the time and us being able to watch them. I think it's absolutely incredible. The last point I want to talk about in the international break recap is Canada. For those of you that do know, me and Andrew were from Canada here in Toronto. Andrew's ripping his Canada jersey as we speak. They had 3 massive games for them in the international break. They played Mexico first, then Jamaica, and then Panama last night. Starting with the Mexico game, they played well. Obviously, Mexico's a top side. They're probably going to finish first or second in this CONCACAF World Cup qualifying group alongside the States. Mexico, they had us on the ropes for a while. However, we could have broken the deadlock at 1-1 and actually scored a goal that gave us 3 points. However, it wasn't the case. We ended up drawing 1-1. Same thing with Jamaica. We had our moments. We had our chances. Couldn't finish. And this game ended 0-0. And then yesterday night versus Canada, I actually had the privilege to go out to BMO Field and watch this game. It was an absolutely phenomenal game. I thought it was great to be there in that atmosphere watching this game. Let me tell you guys, the atmosphere was crazy. Like, I was on my field. I was on my field. I was on my feet for longer than I was sitting down. Like, it was just absolutely nuts. The fans there were pushing Canada to win. Panama came out early and scored 1-0. And it was kind of like, it was scary almost because we didn't know how Canada was going to react. Obviously, being at home, there's a lot of pressure on them. They came out, Alphonso Davies, third consecutive corner, crosses it in. Buchanan got a touch on it and ended up going down as an own goal for the Panamanian defense. Then right after that, Alphonso Davies with an absolute wonder goal, sprinting 70 yards to score this goal. He was all over the field last night. He was playing left striker to start the game, left mid, left cam, center back on corners. He was taking corners sometimes. He's a superstar of this game as a fullback, and he's the only reason why Canada is where they are. I don't want to say that there's other players who they shouldn't be on this Canadian team, but without Alphonso Davies, I don't think this team is anywhere near where they are right now. Like, he's such a phenomenal player to the point where it's like, for those of you growing up playing football, playing soccer, you know, when it's like, you know, you're playing rep. Let's say you're playing rep. I'm not really sure what it's called in Europe. And you're playing against House League kids. That's literally what it felt and what it looked like. He looks so dominant on the field to the point where it looked like those Panamanian players didn't deserve to be on the same field as him. That's how good he was last night. He was phenomenal. They ended up winning the game 4-1. A massive 3 points as Panama was sitting in third, tied with Canada. And now Canada jumped them. They currently sit in third behind the United States and Mexico. Massive 3 points. Sorry for the rant, Andrew. Just have to get that all out there.
Yeah, Daniel, I was really impressed with this this last international window for Canada. It's really hard to go play in Mexico away at the altitude, you know, against a top team that makes the World Cup every single time. So that was a top performance. I think a draw was massive for Canada. I think that was a step back when you go to play against Jamaica away and we tie. Liam Miller had a great chance back post. He shot it right at the keeper. Unfortunately, couldn't bury that goal. So we ended up drawing against an inferior Jamaica side on a tough pitch with tough conditions. The pitch wasn't the best.
It was awful.
It was pretty bad. But I think that going back home, playing at the BMO in Toronto, sold out crowd, and really delivering a result worthy for the fans, and a result that was absolutely necessary because Panama's right up there in the standings with them. Canada announced it's in third place with this win. It was just what they had to do. They went out, they did their business, and guys like Steven Vitoria commanding the back line really well, the skipper there, Ishtakiu picking passes and stringing balls together and finding the wingers. Alphonso Davies really being the guy and, you know, stepping up to the spotlight and doing his job. That's what he did yesterday. I think a guy like Tejan Buchanan was phenomenal yesterday, drawing a lot of fouls. I think it was 8 fouls recorded in the game, the most in the game. Just really a whole team effort yesterday. And this is a real step to build upon for the next window. Obviously, they're going to go play in Edmonton against Costa Rica, which is just, I think, a point or two behind them. So that's another must win. And then they also play Mexico in Edmonton. So it's going to be a homecoming for for Alphonso Davies, pardon me. And it's one that I'm looking forward to coming this November. So exciting stuff from Canada.
Managers on the hot seat. We got a new little segment for you guys. We're just going to talk about two managers. We're going to highlight these two managers. We got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Steve Bruce, the two managers are going to be talking about today. We think they're on the hot seat.
Oh, Daniel, for sure they're on the hot seat. 100%. 100%.
First manager we're going to talk about, Ole. At the wheel? Is he at the wheel, Andrew?
Daniel, I got some interesting stats here. 142 matches as a manager for Manchester United. He has 76 wins, 32 draws, and 34 losses. That's not too bad. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But he also has a final of Europa League defeat against Villarreal. Mm-hmm. That's on his resume as well. You know, that's a terrible, you know, missed opportunity for the club. And then I just want to go through some notable missed points this year. Southampton 1-1 draw. Young Boys 2-1 loss in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. West Ham 1-0 loss in the Carabao Cup. Villa L in the league 1-0. So this year they have 7 missed points, 7 draw points. Daniel, is it time for United to start looking for a replacement for Ole? Is he the right man for this squad and what they're looking for? And then who do you think would be an ideal replacement? I want to know.
Mm-hmm. When Ole first came in, I was okay with him being manager. I felt like he's a club legend, club icon. So give him a shot. You see like other clubs kind of doing this. The one manager I want to point out right away is Pirlo. He was a club legend for Juventus. He came into that team, you know, they didn't have the greatest year. Maybe the players, he wanted to play the style that he didn't have the players for, ended up getting sacked the next year. I think Ole shows spurts of like greatness as a manager. But then at the same time, because I feel like Manchester United plays so well. He comes up with great lineups and stuff like that against top teams. But then if you look at some of the matchups that we've dropped points in this year, they're against lower tier sides that a team like Manchester United, with all the talent that they have on that side, should be winning. So I don't know. It's kind of a 50-50 like throw up for me almost, because if you look at his record, 76 wins, 32 draws, 34 losses, it's not awful. Like I can't say it's bad, but then if you look at a team that he's had, especially this year, because their team is stacked this year, they should be up there competing with the likes of City and Liverpool for the league. And they are right now, but they've already dropped this many points and they're still competing with City and Liverpool. I think they're currently sitting in third. Without these drop points, they're about 3 points or 4 points up on Liverpool and City and Chelsea. So I don't know. It's just like, I like him sometimes. And then sometimes he makes me feel like he doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Going to your question, ideal replacements for him. This is a tough one. I would like to get Conte in here, although the next manager we're talking about, Steve Bruce, he's linked there as well. Zidane doesn't want any more club. He doesn't want to add another club to his resume. He wants to go straight to the French international team, which I can understand why. I'm not sure, to be completely honest with you. I know another club legend, Barcelona, he's not a club legend of United, club legend Barcelona, Xavi, he's been doing excellent in the Saudi Arabian League. I'm not sure if they would want to bring him in, because I know eventually he would like to take on that Barcelona seat that Ronald Koeman is currently making a disaster of, but that's a whole other story. There is managers on the market right now. I'll say that. There is managers that United can bring in that can have this phenomenal squad and take it places. Do I think Ole's that guy? Sometimes he shows like he can be, but I don't think he is.
Daniel, I just want to chime in here on this whole Manchester United situation. There's some reasons why I don't like Ole. I think this club is a club with many personalities, many egos, and I think they need someone to properly manage the egos. And who better than Zinedine Zidane to do that? He done it with Real Madrid, and that's what he did. He came into the club. They had a lot of egos there. You know, he obviously implemented his methodology and some of his tactics there. But it was really about managing egos, and he gets a lot of respect from his players because they know the type of player he is, the legend that he is. I think he'd be an ideal replacement for Ole. Now, let me get to Ole. Ole would conflicts me about some of his tactical decisions is that he plays players in weird positions like Pogba. Why are you playing Pogba, who lacks pace, as a left midfielder? I don't understand that. That's something that, you know, bothers me. Pogba's best down the middle of the park, using his physicality, his IQ on the ball to string passes together, utilize the flanks, and be creative. That's where he's creative, down the middle of the park, breaking the lines. I think that's where he works best, and I think that's an error that Ole, you know, puts him in when he doesn't have wingers available. Mm-hmm. That's something that conflicts me. And I also think that in certain situations, the club is the team is too passive. I think that for the club that they are, the players that they have available to them, they need to be more hungry on the attack. I feel like a lot of plays die out. There's a lack of support. I think Sancho, you know, needs to find his form. I think that's someone that's been struggling. I think once he picks it up, he'll help the attack. But I think there's some gaps in when they move from the midfield to the attack. And that's why you see that they have never blown out a team this year, Daniel. They haven't. They have yet to do so. Maybe in the first game against Leeds, that's it. But they're coming off of, you know, an exciting preseason, a lot of, you know, time off. So they were hungry to get that first win. But, you know, we want to see this consistently. We want to see them score some more goals. And that's where they've been lacking this year.
I think Rashford coming back is going to help them a little bit. I know he's been out because he wanted to wait on his surgery because he wanted to play for the England international side, which is very understandable. You would want to represent your country. And now he's paying the price for it at the club level because he's been out for the entire year. He just returned to training, I think, last week or this week. And he should help out with that attacking side. But who knows if Ole's the right man. I don't think we'll ever know because he may...
I give him until January. See what he's doing in the UCL. See where he is in the league. If he's not meeting expectations, he's not at that high level, see you later. It's been your time, you know?
Yep, I completely agree. We're going to move on to the next manager here, Steve Bruce. Andrew, is Steve Bruce the right manager for the Magpies?
Daniel, it's a easy no for me. Steve Bruce, I think that, you know, he doesn't have the right guys at his disposal right now. And he for sure will be able to once the money starts coming in from this new takeover. But Daniel, I don't like his track record too much. I think any manager could do well with talented players in front of him. But I don't like his track record. Daniel, I'm looking at it here. This year, 3 ties and 4 losses, has yet to win a single game. He's got a negative goal difference of -8. And Daniel, he's had a losing record with 4 of the clubs he's managed. That's with Huddersfield, Wigan, Sunderland, and Newcastle. His all-time record with Newcastle in 96 matches managed is 29 wins, Daniel, 25 draws, and a whopping 42 losses.
That's not great.
His tracker doesn't speak well. So I think that this new era, new takeover, there's going to be lots of money to spend. I think they're going to want a fresh manager at the wheel, implementing, a system here. So I don't think Steve Bruce is that guy. I think they got to look elsewhere. Possible replacements circulating around the news. I heard Brendan Rodgers, they were going to pay his release clause, but that's not happening now. A 16 mil for a manager is just absurd. But you know, to them, that's probably pocket change now. So that's probably like 15 cents on a good day. So some possible replacements we have listed here that have been linked to the club. Lampard, we know Lampard's out of a job. He wants to get back into the Prem, preferably. I see him being an option. Stevie G, Steven Gerrard, would he do the Liverpool Reds bad like that? Would he go to Newcastle? No. We know he wants to coach Liverpool one day. He's always, loved the club. He's doing a fantastic job with Rangers. They're currently sitting first again. He won the league last year as well.
Undefeated.
And then Antonio Conte, that's another option. Daniel, is he bound to be sacked so that the club could start a new era? And who is one of these possible replacements that you fancy as a new manager?
I think he's going to be sacked very soon, especially because they want to start fresh for the January transfer window. They're going to start picking up lots of players, spending big money on guys. I think the manager to do so is, I know I said Conte last week because he was at Inter and there was financial difficulties there. So he ended up leaving because he wanted to spend money on players, but he wasn't allowed to. So again, I think he'll have the freedom to do so. So he'll be a great choice. However, I like Gerrard too, because what he's done at that Rangers side has been nuts over the past 2 years. And he wants to eventually coach his Liverpool side. So why not show that you can win in the Premier League by starting off at Newcastle and working your way up the chain? If you can win at Newcastle with all this money they're providing you and a team that should be good, I'm going to say hopefully within the next 5 years, you can prove to the higher ups at Liverpool that you can manage a top tier side. So I think this is the way that Gerrard to do it. I think he's the right man for the job, and I'd love to see him on this Newcastle side.
Daniel, I think Gerard would be a great option. I think that Conte is an even better option. But for some reason, I don't know why, but I think Lampard might end up there. But there's some other guys that to think of. André Villas-Boas, a Portuguese coach. Paulo Fonseca out of a job, another Portuguese coach. That are decent track records. And then also Lucien Favre, the former Dortmund manager, is out without a job as well. He's another notable option. That could work well. But I think for some reason, Lampard's going to end up there. I don't know why. It's just the feeling in my gut. And I think Conte's the best man because he really brings that fire, that energy. He's a very strict coach, clashes with some players, but he's shown that he's been able to win, and he did it last year with Inter. So I think no better man for the job than Antonio Conte right now. And he's proved himself in the Premier League before with Chelsea as well. So I think Conte's the right man for the job.
We're going to move on to our last segment of the episode, best fantasy picks. We're just going to rifle through three quick fantasy players that we think should definitely be in your lineup this week.
Daniel, I got my pick here. And I think it's a good one. He's not overpriced. He's valued at 6.4 million within the Premier League fantasy world there. It's none other than Leander Trossard. Top player. Plays on the wing, striker in real life, but he's listed as a midfielder on the app. So, you know, he's going to get you more points for a goal. He's got, what is it here? He's got 27 fantasy points this season. He's got more than Grealish. Mm-hmm. He's got more than Bernard Silva. He's got more than Havertz. So just putting that into perspective for you, at 6.4, you're getting a player that's going to produce more than these guys that cost more. And then Norwich, they averaged 2 goals against per game this season. So I think this is a great opportunity to have a guy like that. Cheap midfielder, counts as a striker in real life, though. And he's going to score goals. I think he's going to score goals because they've been poor. They're averaging 2 goals against a game. So most likely he's gonna pop in the or get an assist. So I think that's a great pick for this week.
So we got a midfielder. I'm moving back to the back line. The back is the back. Our keepers. I think Emiliano Martinez, he's going to be a great keeper option this week. They're playing Wolves. Wolves has had trouble scoring all year, especially with Raul Jimenez coming back into this team, you know, coming off horrible head injury. He hasn't picked up where he left off. I think they're going to shut them out. Emiliano Martinez is going to get a nice little shutout on his record, and he's going to be a great pick for your fantasy lineups. Last player. This is the riskiest one out of all of them, not because of who he is, but just because of what we talked about before with Comneball messing up schedules and stuff like that. Who knows if he's even going to play? Gabriel Jesus, he's in form right now. He's been fantastic. He's played 7 games for City. He hasn't even started most of those, and he has 6 goals. It's risky because it's just like, hopefully he plays. Hopefully he makes it back on time for the game, first of all. Then hopefully they start him, which is even more of a risk. And you do know if he does start, he's going to put up points. He's currently sitting 10th in Premier League top players for fantasy. He has 41 points, tied with Sadio Mane. He's been great this year, especially coming off the bench. And he, I think, and Andrew thinks that he's going to be one of the best fantasy picks next week.
Yeah, that's a decent pick, Gabriel Jesus there. Just a little risky, like you said, but yeah, he's been producing, so.
And guys, that about wraps up the episode.
Dang, another episode done. Check us out on our socials. We're always on every platform, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere, Daniel.
Wherever you guys want to hear us, listen to us, interact with us, even on social media, Instagram, we're there. Whoever you guys want us to be, just know we're always there.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Yet another episode. We'll see you for next week for episode 4 with some Premier League action. That's all for today. See you guys next time.
See you later.